Hello, and you are listening to the Tech and Tonic podcast, where we discuss all things tech and we talk about all things tech. And you join us, me and it's me, Darwin, and Jeevan in another episode of the Tech and Tonic podcast. How are you guys doing? Anyway,
yo.
Yeah, so this week, last week, it was a quiet one.
A quietly eventful week.
Yeah, well, it's not quiet for the right reasons, though. It's quite alarming. Anyway, there are still things happening. One of them, Acer Swift X, has arrived in Malaysia. So this is a sort of a creator stuff that Acer's trying to push. It comes with an AMD Ryzen 7 up to, okay, and an NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3050 Ti, if I'm not wrong, or is it a 3050, something like that. And it starts at $4,299. That's for the Ryzen 5 version, but you're still getting the RTX 3050 with that, which also means that you're getting a lot of power for not very much money. It's good. Like, I don't know what to say.
Considering it's also a thin and light laptop, it's very, very good.
So they are selling it as a content creator type of, you know, device that, you know, they want to sell to content creators. And I think it kind of works because it's got a lot of power. And AMD's powerhouses, you know, their CPUs are sort of known for, you know, heavy content production, like, I don't know, videos and even 3D rendering sometimes. But I guess, you know, this is more for, you know, the casual content creators that does videos and even, you know, audio podcasts like what we're doing right now, you know?
Yeah.
So, AMD, not AMD, I'm sorry, HMD. HMD, well, Nokia is, I wouldn't say back in the tablet business, are they? This is kind of new for them, right? Because they just launched the Nokia T20.
Yeah, it's, I think, their first ever Android tablet, if I'm not mistaken.
So. Yes, I think so.
But I like the way they think. It's a very affordable tablet, which we are sorely lacking in our Android space.
Yeah, so the last time we were talking about a Xiaomi tablet, right? And when it arrived in Malaysia, it wasn't actually that affordable.
Yeah.
After considering, you know, they're selling the, what is that called? The smart pen, the Xiaomi smart pen separately, you know, it's not actually that cheap because it's a 1,500 ringgit tablet plus a 300 ringgit stylus, right? And this one is way cheaper than that.
When it comes back, it comes to Malaysia, it is as cheap as it is, lah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not released in Malaysia just yet. It's, I think, in Europe now. Is it UK? It's not UK. But it's priced at about 199 euros. That's starting from a Wi-Fi only version, and that's 960 ringgit, somewhere there or thereabouts. Yep. Which is actually very, very cheap. And for the cellular version, that means you can get LTE SIM cards in it and whatnot, it starts at 239 euros. That's about 1,150 ringgit, which is cheap, to say the least.
It's cheap, but also we need to keep in mind that it comes with a Unisoc Tiger T610.
What
if you don't know what we're talking about, it's a very, very, very niche company. But technically, it's a Qualcomm 875, if I'm not mistaken, or 845.
Okay, that might not sound too bad. Okay, that actually might not sound too bad. But at the same time, you have to remember that we are now at the age where SoCs are at 5 nanometers. Okay?
Yeah.
This is a 12 nanometer processor. Okay, so yeah, while 800 series Snapdragon doesn't sound bad, this is old.
And it's an old architecture as well. It's using the Cortex A75 cores.
Which is very old, okay? We're saying that it's very old. It's probably about 4 or 5 years old, somewhere there. And it comes with 3 gigs of RAM. It's not even like 6. It's 3 and 4.
And yeah, it maxes out at 4.
And in memory wise, oh my gosh.
It maxes out at 64 gigs.
Yeah, so it starts at 32.
Yeah, and the tablet that I am using now has 64 gigs. It's already filled up.
Yeah, 64 gigs for a smartphone or even a tablet now is not enough.
Yeah.
I can assure you. Right?
When it comes to display, it's okay la.
It's not bad. It's not quad HD. It's 2000 by 1200 pixels, which is slightly more than full HD.
Yeah.
But it's not an OLED display, is it?
No, it's an LCD display.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing for me is that if you looked at the renders that were sent to us, the thing is chonky with the bezels.
Yeah, well, it's not meant to be a very sophisticated tablet, I think. So, yeah, it's a cheap tablet, and we sorely need a cheap tablet these days. So, yeah. I think that works, I guess.
I think it's a welcome addition to the Android space, at least when it comes to cheap tablets. Because the last time we had a cheap tablet was like, what? In 2017?
Somewhere there.
Or at least one at this level of pricing.
Yeah. One at this level of pricing, I think about 2016, 2015, somewhere there. 2017 onwards, the tablet market, it's kind of dwindling. But it's good to see the tablet market coming back. So that's encouraging at least, right? Next up, Mob Vitek Watch Pro X. It's not a smartwatch that we see in Malaysia, although we want it in Malaysia, sadly, you know. But it is now in China, which is a step forward at least, right? Because previously it was only available in the US and the Europe, right?
Yeah, so Mobvoi is available officially through Shopee.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew this. They are officially in Malaysia through Shopee.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So I was searching for this particular model, but this model is not there.
Right.
So this model I am interested in because it has a dual screen. It has dual screen, so it has it has your usual OLED display, and then it has, you know, that black and white screen that were used in digital watch.
Yep.
Yeah, it has that as well.
Right. So the 8-bit. The 8-bit inky display thing.
Yeah, so they call it an FSTN display.
Right.
And the main screen is an AMOLED display.
Okay.
1.4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs on the Snapdragon Wear 4100.
Right.
But it doesn't have Wear OS 3.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know whether it will be upgradable or not at this time.
Yeah.
Whatever Android watches that you have right now, we don't know whether any of them will be upgraded to Wear OS 3 at all. Well, we hope that it would, because at least a lot of the manufacturers and especially Snapdragon, Qualcomm said that, you know, their older platforms can support Wear OS 3. Is whether or not Android wants to support them. That's kind of what they implied. So we can only wait and see. Anyway, now you know, the Mobvoi brand is officially in Malaysia via Shopee.
Yeah, and so it has 1 gig of RAM, 8 gigs of storage, which is, I think, on par with the Samsung Galaxy Watch.
Except that the Galaxy Watch, the newer one, comes with Wear OS 3.
Yeah, aside from that, you have everything you're looking for in a smartwatch, essentially. IP68, it automatically tracks about 20 sports routines, and it does, you know, that irritating thing that Fitbit does and tells you to walk every hour. Yeah,
right. It's not just Fitbit though, it's every other smartwatch maker that, you know, wants to keep you healthy, basically, because they are doubling as fitness trackers anyway, right? So they're going to tell you to, hey, start walking every 45 minutes. It's quite normal. You can't turn it off. by the way, you can turn that off. You just have to dig deep. Yeah.
So it has Vulti support and eSIM support.
Cool. Right. So Asus also launched a new, not really launched, they sort of released a new phone, their new phone in Malaysia, which is quite puzzling to me because this is the ROG Phone 5S. Okay. It launched not too long ago, but the 5S Pro comes with the Qualcomm Snapdragon 888 Plus, which is more powerful than the ROG Phone 5 Ultimate. So, how are?
Well, I think one thing we can safely say, I think shortage of stock for the ROG Phone 5 Ultimate is alleviated with the Phone 5S.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, it kind of made the ROG Phone 5 Ultimate redundant, isn't it? Because the ROG Phone 5S starts at 2,999 ringgit. Okay, the Pro will be about, what, 4,000 plus ringgit, which is cheaper than the ROG Phone 5 Ultimate. And you get everything that the Phone 5 Ultimate has on the ROG Phone 5S Pro. So, should you buy an Ultimate now? I don't think so.
Yeah, pricing wise, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, because the ROG Phone 5 Ultimate just launched kind of in Malaysia just last month. And the ROG Phone 5S Pro is coming like this month.
It's already here. Yeah.
So yeah, I think Asus just shot their own foot there. Anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, speaking of new products, Sony launched an SRS NS7 speaker thing. It's a personal speaker, basically. It's not a headphone, right? But you put it around your neck. And it's
a shoulder phone.
They're kind of a shoulder speaker or a neck speaker. It looks like a neck pillow. Okay. And it's a upward-firing speaker. But it has Dolby Atmos and Sony's 360 reality audio or spatial audio, which is quite cool, right? Especially if you pair them to a Sony TV. The Sony Bravia XR TV especially, right? So you're gonna get like a personal surround sound experience. Okay, this is at about 1,249 ringgit, which is not cheap, obviously.
It's not cheap, but I was expecting it to cost a lot more.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, personal audio experience from Sony has always been good. And we won't hide the fact that both of us are very big Sony fans. And if this is an alternative, I think, for users who doesn't want to spend on a soundbar, you know, because a soundbar is just on the table and you can't do anything with it after you install it, right? This kind of speaker, you can basically take it anywhere in your home, right? You can even do the dishes and still have your entertainment in your ear, right? So I think that's kind of suitable for this kind of use. Although I don't think you should take it to your room if you have a double story house and if your TV is downstairs, you know, because that's not very good. But I think this is very good as, you know, in a apartment sort of situation or a studio apartment kind of situation where your TV is like basically the center of the house. You can see it from everywhere.
Or if you just want to connect it to your phone to have your podcast like us in your ears, well, without having something over or in your ears.
Yeah. So if you don't want to not lose connection to the outside world, basically. But it's pretty good. Like this personal audio thing, apparently it does 360 reality audio and spatial audio wherever you go. So that's good, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, last week was a quiet one for all the wrong reasons because early on in the week, I think everybody realized this, right? Their WhatsApp did not come in for a few hours. Their, you know, Facebook and Instagram just suddenly went dead, quiet. You know, you couldn't update anything. You couldn't even find anything. Like me and my friends were disconnected for 6 hours and kind of yeah, for 6 hours, we couldn't talk to each other. We were supposed to have an online meet for something, but because I couldn't contact them, I went to sleep. They were waiting for me until 4 a.m. I didn't know, right? So Facebook went down, basically. And the situation is explained by them as, you know, a software update of some sorts for one of their servers.
It was a settings update for technically their DNS settings.
Mm.
And apparently they didn't set it properly.
Right.
And it just cascaded down the line.
Right. And there was some claims of, you know, hacking on it. They were saying that some kid from China managed to hack Facebook and stuff like that. That's not true, by the way, right? That's not true. But you know what's true? Somebody actually managed to hack into Twitch.
Yeah.
And that's an even bigger issue.
Yeah, so I think the past week was epic. Quite exciting for cybersecurity.
It's epic. So, it's so epic.
Twitch actually lost quite a bit of data.
Yeah.
And this hacker or hackers actually released 125 gigs worth of data on 4chan.
Yeah, so 128 gigs. Let us put this into perspective, okay? If you're talking about personal data, like your own password, your name, your living your address and your banking details, those are not even 10 kilobits of data.
Yeah.
So 120 gigabytes of data, right? That's a lot of data. That's basically almost the entire user base of Twitch, you can say, right?
Yeah,
based on personal information alone lah.
Yeah, so the data that was uploaded is actually everything from Twitch source code.
Yeah.
From when they were called Justin TV.
Mm. Justin TV.
So yes, it was that far back. So basically, if you want to create your own online streaming platform,
mm-hmm.
you can basically go and get everything that makes Twitch run.
Right. But this kind of highlights, you know, it's something that we've covered before, cybersecurity, right? We've spoken about it. We've done a few specials on it. Go check it out, you know, on our page, I think, on our Spotify page.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've done a few specials on it and we've covered this topic like every year. So I think it's a good time for us to kind of remind ourselves. And especially, you know, you kind of think in the sense that, you know, with the Facebook outage, once Facebook's servers are hacked or breached, it's not only your Facebook account that's going to be gone. It's your Instagram and your WhatsApp account as well.
Right? And your Oculus account.
And your Oculus account, yes, because now Facebook owns Oculus, right? What don't they own?
Yeah. So this particular breach is a bit worrying because the breach happened in an Amazon Web Services S3 bucket.
Yeah.
So if you run Amazon Web Services, you have different components that create your whole website.
Yep.
The S3 is basically a storage repository. Think of it as your hard drive.
Yeah. So and it's only one of their... the S3 is only one of their storage units, okay,
yep.
That's cloud-based. It's entirely cloud-based and it's hosted by Amazon. But
yep.
Just one storage is enough.
Yeah, so basically everything was taken from there, including earnings data from some of the top streamers up to 2019.
Wow.
Yeah, some of them are earning a lot of money.
Yeah, well... If you understand how Twitch works, okay, you shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I think one of the biggest things that we got from this Twitch breach is basically that attackers are not attacking because they are malicious towards the company anymore.
Mm.
This particular attacker is actually responding to something that has been happening on Twitch over and over and over again for the past how many months. So on Twitch itself, there has been something called hate raiding, where certain groups of people have used one of the tags that Twitch has introduced to identify sexuality and right. stuff like that to attack these individuals, these okay. streamers. So this particular hacker is putting the source code out there because he feels that Twitch is not doing enough
right
to handle the situation.
Right.
So it's technically a vigilante justice type of situation.
So he's not Batman, he's Bat Twitch.
Yes. So essentially, I think the data that was leaked, the earnings data, is a oops kind of situation.
Right.
But at the same time, think about it this way. Facebook is not garnering any good publicity in the past week. A lot of big tech companies are in similar shoes where they are being scrutinized to know, to basically everything that they are doing is being scrutinized. What's to prevent another thing like this happening where somebody gets access to all this data and just releases it?
Right, but more than that, right, actually, what can we do to protect ourselves? I mean, this is something that we've covered time and time and time and time again. So I think we should sort of close with that. What can we do, you know, to protect ourselves? And one of them is basically what we did when we found out about the Twitch leak, right? This whole Twitch breach thing, right? We basically changed our password straight away.
Yeah, so like, the first thing... The first thing that you should do is change your passwords.
Yeah, and I think we need to encourage everyone to, you know, use two-factor authorization.
Yeah, so yeah. Two-factor authentication, you will basically know when somebody's trying to enter your account.
Or at least they can't enter your account that easily, you know.
Yeah.
If they don't have your authenticator token app thing, you know, you can't. They can't actually log into your account. I've had this situation before. I've lost like $1,000 or actually I've got, you know, credited $1,000. Was it right to say I'm credited or
you had $1,000 stolen?
Yeah, my card was charged $1,000 from Amazon Web Services, and it's not their fault. Okay, somebody basically yeah. used or found my credentials online, you know. And they use my card information to basically got an AWS account set up and basically use $1,000 and charged it to my card. I managed to figure that out. So I got my $1,000 back, but it was not fine. Okay.
Yeah. And this happened midway when we were gaming with another friend.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the other thing, right? Be careful and only shop in sources that you trust and, you know, when you know that you're secure. And we always say this, try not to do your banking shopping outside of places that you know, right? Don't use public Wi-Fi to do any of these things. Not even on your own data, okay? Not even on your network, right? Your 4G network, LTE network. You want to do your online purchases at home.
Yeah, so like even for us, when we do banking, we actually use a VPN.
Yeah, we have to. Yes, yeah. use a VPN. That's very important as well.
And I think the other thing that you should do with this Twitch breach is actually remove any banking data that you have on Twitch.
Oh, it's not just that. You might want to remove your personal data, such as your address, your actual address, you know. While, yes, it is important for some services, you know, to be used with your address details and stuff like that, not all of them needs to know where you stay and your phone number.
Yeah, and I think if you had your credit card or debit card linked to your Twitch account,
take it off,
and for the next few months, unfortunately, you have to pay attention to your transactions.
Yeah, unfortunately. But anyway, if you are using PayPal, you can easily sort of eliminate all of these issues, actually. But
yep.
Yeah, this is why services like PayPal, and in Malaysia, there's something called IP88. They're very, very popular because they are secure as far as we,
yeah.
Okay, as far as we can see, at least.
Yep. The other thing that you might want to do is if you have anything that shares the same password.
Oh, change them, please.
Change it.
Change and
use a unique password for each of your services.
So if you can't remember your passwords for every kind of login and stuff like that, there are password managers out there. You know, there are a lot of password managers out there. And one of the most convenient to use is Google's own password manager. Because Google's password own password manager can actually generate, you know, unique passwords for every one of the logins that you have. Of course,
it can generate very unique nonsense that you really won't be able to remember.
Yeah, and you can only access through Google's password manager, basically.
If you don't want to use Google, you have 1Pass, LastPass,
Dashlane.
There's so many out there.
Yeah, you just have to go on Google and find the right one for you.
Yeah, and these password managers actually make it so that you just have to remember 1Password. And everything else is just an autofill.
Yeah, of course, don't let people hack that one account to your password.
Yeah.
Then you're basically screwed.
Screwed.
But there's also another very, very important one. And this is very, very simple. Don't simply give out your information to anyone, you know, that asks you for your information, you know, because that can lead to a lot of problems. You don't know who you're talking to online most of the time. Okay. And a lot of times, most of your friends will not ask you what your passwords are.
Yep.
Yeah. Unless you know them, lah. And yeah, most of the time you don't have people asking for your passwords. And even if they do, let's say for a Netflix password and stuff like that, after you give them, you should delete them, like, immediately.
Yeah, and basically if you share it over WhatsApp or text and stuff like that, it's a bit risky. We wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
But you also have, like, for Telegram and WhatsApp, you can actually delete the messages immediately.
Correct. And at least on WhatsApp, it's an encrypted message from device to device. So while it is safe, we still don't recommend doing any of that because it is dangerous.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think when it comes to your own personal data, be careful when you're accessing websites. There are a lot of malicious actors that actually duplicate and spoof websites.
Correct.
So you might be going to gmail.com, but it's actually g.mail.com.
Yeah, so you do want to check your, you know, URL before you type anything in. That's kind of very important. And it's a very, very simple way of people spoofing the website and basically gaining your data, because data is priceless these days.
Yeah. And like, it sometimes it's not just your data. They want to attack the company.
Correct.
And there's no better attack on a company's credibility than actually attacking them and leaking data.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Tech and Tonic show again, you know, for this week. We really, really appreciate you guys. Do drop a comment if you have any feedback to our show, you know. And if you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this on YouTube, drop a like. And of course, subscribe to our channel, right? And we are also on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on Apple Podcasts. If you're on any of these platforms and you want to reach out, do reach out to us. If not, you can reach out to us on our Facebook, on our Instagram, on our Twitter, and even LinkedIn. So if Facebook and Instagram, you cannot find us, or you cannot access your Facebook and Instagram again, there's always Twitter, and there's also always an email, you know. You can find us on our website, you know, www.techn.tv. But if you want to reach out to us on social media, we have TechNTV across the channel. There's TechNTV across the channel. Now, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. And and we'll speak to you again next week. This is me, Darwin, and Jeevan. Bye-bye.
See ya.